Awesome. Thank you, Olivia. Thank you, Rich, for asking me to lead this meeting. Thank you, Olivia, for being of service and everyone who's of service at this meeting. I think service is incredibly important. And I wouldn't be here without everyone that gives service. So I only have 20 minutes. I might talk fast, and I'm certainly going to miss some things. But I wanted to start out with like a little overview of what it was like, because this it started young for me. I was probably a 100 pounder before, or over 100 pounds in grade school. I was over 100 pounds by the time I was done with sixth grade, probably. I don't think I was at a healthy body weight since I don't know, six, seven, maybe seven. Stealing Halloween candy was a big thing. My dad tried to hide it. I was smarter than he was. When it came to finding chocolate, or like I could smell it, I don't know. He always hid it in the same place, so I don't know what he was thinking. But yeah, I would go crazy with food. I would eat late at night. I would try and disguise my eating. I remember I would eat ice cream straight out of the carton, and then try and hide it by filling it up with water and putting it back in the fridge. I knew it didn't weigh the same, so I put a little bit less in and just hoped my father, who was an alcoholic, didn't notice because he was too drunk. I don't know. He never said anything about that. He got more mad about the chocolate. But I got to make amends with my father recently, which was really a good occasion. But that didn't happen then. So I ate a lot. I ate a lot of fast food. I ate a lot of a lot of food. And I did the same thing in college, at high school. It didn't matter. I have never been at a healthy body weight. Even now, I'm as close as I've been in a long time, and I have 3 years of abstinence. But I'm not there. But we'll talk about the weight loss later. It got the worst. Where it was at it was worse is when I was in law school. I basically just dealt with the stress of working a full-time job and going to law school in the evening by driving through drive-throughs, afterwards stopping at 7-Eleven and picking up food there. And I would go and I would spend, $30, $40 at a drive-through. I didn't even have like the decency to try and pretend it was for more than one person. I just didn't care. I figured the people that were at these drive-throughs really didn't care either. So it got really bad. I top weight was 440 pounds, and that was in 2017, 2018-ish. I was 440 pounds, and I started after a night of binging, I started feeling very severe pain in my abdomen, and I thought I was having a heart attack. And because I'm not good enough for an ambulance, I drove myself to the hospital, and they hooked me up to an EKG. They said, "You're not having a heart attack, so go sit down in the waiting room." And it was the most extreme pain I've ever been in my life. I was in agony. I remember in the waiting room, I probably prayed. I don't know, but it was that bad. And the pain went away. Like it did. I'm not saying it happened when I prayed. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what happened is that it at some point just went away completely. And the doctor saw me, and I was there all night. I was there. I probably showed up at 2 in the morning, and I probably left around 6 or 7.
15 minutes.
Thank you. They said it was gallstones. So I asked for help. I asked for help from people that I knew, and I was I met somebody from another 12-step program, who told me that they have a 12-step program for food. And I said I had no idea. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And he said he would go to his first meeting with me. And this is somebody who was just visiting randomly from out of town. He said he would go to his first meeting with me. And back then it was all in person still. So we went to an in-person meeting that Monday, because I think it was Saturday or Sunday, hold on, my cat needs to. She knows she can get away with stuff when I'm busy. Yeah, so I went to my first meeting. It was in person. It was also called Monday Night Miracles. It was here in the San Fernando Valley, which is where I am. And I got connected with a group of men who are all 100 pounders, who all a lot of them have lost the weight and kept it off. And I started working with the sponsor immediately. I started going to meetings immediately, but I couldn't stop still. I still couldn't stop. I remember the first miracle I experienced in program, because what I was doing every night is I was going out of my room, walking to the kitchen, and I was getting food every night. And it was actually my roommate's food, because I wasn't buying the food at least anymore. But it was my roommate's food. I was stealing from him. And I told my sponsor, I said, "Hey, I can't stop." He said, "Have you tried prayer?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Try asking God for help, see what happens." So one night I did, on the way from my bedroom to the kitchen, I said a prayer. I don't remember what the words were, but it was something along the lines of, "God, help me not eat tonight." And I never made it to the kitchen. I turned around and I went back to bed. And that was the first miracle I experienced in this program. I'd never been able to do that under my own power. And that was very significant. I was working with the sponsor for a couple years before COVID still, and I lost a lot of weight. I lost over 100 pounds. I probably lost over 150 pounds. And it was good. I had long stretches of abstinence, but I never got to a year. I think I got to 9 months at some point. And then COVID hit. I had a fiance. I had a nice apartment. I had a good job, and I thought I got this. I didn't need help anymore. So I relapsed, not quickly. It actually was a progressive relapse, where I started by not going to meetings. I started by not doing the work that I was supposed to be doing. I started by not calling my sponsor, and not calling fellows. And then it went to, I can eat this food that I don't, that wasn't part of the plan before, that wasn't part of my abstinence before. I can eat this now. It's okay. And COVID was a really easy time to disappear. And that's what happened. I just disappeared. I stopped going to meetings completely. Oh, she's gonna try and, gosh darn it. I stopped going to meetings completely. Sorry about that. I stopped going to meetings completely, and I gained weight. I gained a lot of weight. I gained 100 pounds in relapse. The way I put it is, I never went back to the hard stuff, right? Sweets, sugar. I never went back to sugar, but I did go back to other foods. So I gained 100 pounds, and probably a year. It took me about a year to gain 100 pounds back. And I knew that I needed to get back into program, because I also wasn't going to work. I own my own business. And I had a business partner at the time, and he was ready to just call it. He was just like, "We can't, this ain't working. If you don't get, if you don't get your stuff together, we are going to be over." So I decided that going back to program would be a good way for me to try to salvage what was, I thought, a good thing.
10 minutes.
Thank you. I thought it was a good thing going on, and I wanted to salvage it. So I started going back to program at that point. And I picked a really gentle sponsor. I picked a really gentle sponsor who didn't really ask me to do much, because I wasn't really willing to do much. And this was over 3 years ago. This was probably four and a half years ago. So I didn't stay out. Yeah, like I said, I stayed out long enough to gain 100 pounds. But I was welcomed back immediately. I think one of the greatest parts of this fellowship is that when we see somebody come back from a relapse, or at least my experience was that when I came back from a relapse, there was no shame, guilt, there was no shunning, there was no, what are you doing with your life? Which is kind of what I expected. It was just like, we'll meet you where you're at. The sponsor that I was working with, I remember like, hey, I was just like, here's all I can do. I'll tell you what I'm eating. And then it moved from that to 3 meals a day. Didn't matter what the food was, but it was 3 meals a day. And then it progressed from there where like he was like, how about today you don't eat this thing? Because I'm trying not to talk about foods too much. I don't want to make it about the foods. And, for posterity purposes, I don't think it's helpful. It was a food that when I ate, it got me high as it got me high. That's what the food did for me, is that it got me high. And I knew that it was getting me high. And when I told my sponsor, he said, how about today we don't eat that? And I said, all right, cool. And I followed direction, but it was a very slow process at first. I wasn't even counting days, wasn't really going to meetings. I was talking to my sponsor, I was reading the book a little bit, and then slowly I stepped back in. And then my sponsor passed away in a very adventurous way. I'll just put it that way. Actually on an adventure when he passed away. But it was an accident. It was, I miss him. He's a good dude. So I had to get a new sponsor, because that's one thing about this program that has always been a constant for me, is that it doesn't work unless I'm working with someone else. It doesn't work unless I'm working with somebody who it's working for. And that person, my sponsor has a sponsor. I sponsor people, and my sponsor's sponsor also has a sponsor. And I know other people. I know fellows. I call fellows often. Anyway, let me get back to, I started working with this new sponsor. He had a very rigorous program. He runs a tight program, and he asked me to do a lot of the stuff that he was doing, which was pray and meditate daily, read on awakening in the morning, go to meetings often. I think he wants he probably wanted me to go to a meeting every day. I'm not going to a meeting every day. I'm going to about 5 a week right now. But that and call three fellows. That was the other thing he asked me to do, is call three fellows every day. And today, I call three fellows every day. Not necessarily without fail. There's some days where it just doesn't happen. I'm coming up on 3 years of abstinence right now. My birthday is December 27th. It'll be 3 years. I'm currently down, from my top weight, I am down 185 pounds. So I'm at 255 right now. When I asked my doctor what a good weight would be, he was like, I don't know. And I was like, what about 220? And he's like, sure. So I said, okay, great. Because I don't think he thought I would ever get to that weight. And every time I see him, he's like, wow, you're still losing weight. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm in this thing. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. It works. Anyway. My blood work's really good too. I noticed that happened really quickly. The blood work got fixed almost, I'm not going to say immediately, but it improved by like a huge
5 minutes.
margin. Thank you. It improved by a huge margin almost immediately, just from cleaning up my food, just from the way that I eat. And let me talk about the way that I eat right now. I don't eat sugar or sugar type foods like cakes, cookies, candies, soda. I drink diet soda. It's not an issue for me today.
I have a one carb every other day, and a carb is usually either a potato or rice. I have 3 meals a day. I have one snack. It's usually fruit. In fact, I would say probably for the last 5 or 6 months, it's been 6 ounces of fruit. Sometimes if I don't have fruit, I'll have like an ounce and a half of beef jerky, or very rarely nuts. It's been a long time since I've had nuts. Yeah, I don't eat bread. I don't eat flour. And as I've gone, that's not where I started. It's not where I started 3 years ago. But as I've gone on, with consultation with my sponsor, we have identified foods that were either obviously problematic because I told him, "Hey, I ate this food. I wanted more," or I was going to eat this food and I wanted as much as I could possibly put on my plate. So once we identified those foods, we call them, and my sponsor and I, we do a sober eating program. We call them alcoholic foods because they are foods that I react to the way an alcoholic reacts to alcohol. So I abstain from those foods, which includes fried foods, bread, pasta, a whole bunch of stuff. I can't even keep track anymore. I know it when I see it. I know that's not my food. That's clearly not my food. Because if I try that, if I eat that, I'm gonna go crazy. I'm gonna want more. I'm gonna gain 100 pounds. So I abstain. That's right. Abstinence is the act of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards maintaining a healthy body weight. And I am working towards I am working towards a healthy body weight. I've been consistently losing weight the entire time I've been in program. Regardless of how hard I was working program, it does seem to go better when I am working program stronger. It does seem that way when I am going to more meetings and I am calling for more fellows. The food is quiet. I don't think about the food as much. I used to have dreams about food. I haven't had a dream about food in quite some time. And it's interesting because at the when I first started having, and this is kind of a, we're not a glum lot. When I first started having the dreams about the food in the dreams, I loved it. I went crazy. I ate everything I could eat in the dreams. Now, when I dream about food, I have to have a conversation with my sponsor in the dream, which is depressing to have that in a dream. But I suppose one, you know, that's another thing I talk about a lot with my sponsees or other fellows is I think part of the program is being immersed. It's like a foreign language in a way. The only way to really get it is to saturate yourself, to soak in it. They say put yourself at the center of the herd. I use more linguistic terms. Make it your primary language. Well, I'll just say it this way. My first thought when I'm having a really hard day is I need to call a fellow. My second thought is I need to call my sponsor. And then my third thought is before I call my sponsor, I need to pray and meditate because that's the first thing he's going to ask me is whether or not I prayed and meditated. And then the fourth, then usually by the time I'm done with all of those, I'm ready to move on to the next thing. And whatever I thought was such a big deal is not really that big of a deal. You know, having faith is a hard thing, or at least it doesn't come naturally for me, which means I'm not often, I don't have gratitude often because I'm focused on the fear. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I'm working through right now. I am in 10, 11, and 12. I still have a couple amends I need to make. Maybe, I don't know. I'll ask my sponsor. They're not big ones. I've made all the big ones, including the kid that I bullied in high school. I met with him. That was one of the first amends I did, and that was incredibly gratifying. It felt really good to just be like, I don't have to feel the weight of that anymore. because he's told me what I need to do to make it right. And really, all the guy said was help some people. Like he's like, you're an attorney, find some people that you can help. So I do. I try and help all of my clients. Obviously, that's my job. But I also, when I'm able to, look for others to help. And I get fellows that call me and ask for legal advice, and I don't mind helping them. Oh, that's lovely. So I'll just finish with this. I'm trying to focus on gratitude, trying to work through fear consistently, and it's one day at a time, and I can't do it without you all. So thank you for letting me be here, and thank you for letting me share.